The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, so wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us. And I have a real treat in store for you today. I have got on the line with me probably the pro-life icon of the century in the United States, if not in the world. I'm about to introduce you to and talk with Judy Brown, who is the American Life League's president and is just an amazing person. And she has just turned 80. And so we are going to just talk with her about her life and all the things she's done and the amazing people she's met, the impact she has had on the world, literally on the world. I, as you all know, I come from a different continent and a different country and grew up in Africa and all of those things that you've heard from me for many, many years. But I can tell you that way back in Africa, we all knew Judy Brown. She was just such an amazing person, and I'm so thrilled to have her with us to help her celebrate her 80th birthday. Judy, welcome to From the Median.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor for me to be here.
Judy, you and I mean, as I say, I've known you via all of the work that you've done for decades now. And it's been amazing. I mean, I'm not far behind you, mind you. So in age wise, but it's been a journey. And throughout my journey in the pro-life movement in different countries, I lived in Canada for several years. And of course, over in Africa. Your name was always synonymous with the pro-life movement. You were always getting into, I won't say always, but you were sometimes getting into trouble with all kinds of people because of your absolutely 100% stance on abortion and on life. Thank you. Let me just take this opportunity on behalf of all the listeners and on behalf of Cleveland Right to Life to say thank you for all you've done for us and for the millions of babies that I know you have saved. So thank you for that. Tell us a little bit about Judy Brown. How did this all start?
Well, it all started at in Seattle, Washington, when my husband and I heard about a vote that was going to take place as a referendum to decriminalize abortion up to the moment of birth in the state of Washington. And we passed out brochures door to door. And that's actually how I started in the pro-life movement, was my husband and I and our baby Hugh, who's now over 50, walking from door to door, passing out brochures.
Wow. Wow. And then, you know, it's amazing what God does with the work. When you serve him, he keeps going, okay, that's the start. Keep coming.
That's right. Well, see, that's the whole point of it. I mean, we have 3 children and 13 grandchildren. My husband has gone to his reward and we're still fighting.
Yeah.
And the reason we're still fighting is because they're still killing babies. And now they're killing elderly people and they're killing children with special needs. And it's just an abomination what's going on.
It sure is. It really is. I was just listening the other day, Judy, and I, you know, thought of all the leaders and all the people who have tried to stop this, but somebody, one of the European countries was boasting about the fact that they don't have any more Down syndrome children being born. And I'm thinking,
I know.
Oh my goodness gracious me. That's not something you tout as a success. That's terrible.
You know? Well, it's Belgium. And, you know, the saddest part about that country is that one of the founders of American Life League's international arm, which is no longer in existence, was Dr. Philippe Scheppens, who was at the time one of the most well-known surgeons in Europe. And it's his country that's killing Down syndrome babies at a huge rate. Yeah. It's just, you know, it brings tears to my eyes because I have a wonderful little grandson who has Down syndrome. Yeah. And I couldn't tell you the anyone joy. Could ever replace him.
I know. The joy
they
bring.
I know I'm going to cry. But sorry,
you're just allowed to cry. You're absolutely allowed to cry for the children that, you know, that are not here to bring the joy that this little boy's brought to you, you know?
It's amazing to see. I have a very dear friend who started off the pro-life movement, the pro-life club that we started in Canada, the very first in up in Newfoundland, and her little boy was Down syndrome. Honestly, Judy, I often think of him and think you couldn't have wished for to, you couldn't have been more honored to know somebody than this young
family. No, that's how I feel about my grandson.
Yeah,
and that's how I know. Richard Watson and his dearly departed wife at Leone felt about their son, Peter, who's now 40. And being a very productive member of society, he runs his own store. I mean, it's just, it boggles my mind that people don't appreciate the precious gift of a human being. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, and I used to tell the story all the time when I was working in Canada with this, because of course it was a huge, but much quicker push in Canada to terminate, as they would say, terminate Down syndrome children. But I would tell them the story about in Africa. If an African family had a Down syndrome child, this was celebrated as a special Holy a spirit, and they weren't always Christian, but it was a special spirit that had been sent to them, and they were honored and revered in that village.
Yes, you know, I've heard of that in many countries, including the country. I have a niece who was born, oh gosh, I don't know how many years ago, in Africa, but she too was prized as a special little person.
Yeah. Yep.
So I have no time in my life, never have had, for people who judge people by their quality or their lack of gifts, if that's what you want to say. But I think that the disregard for the human person today is far worse than it's ever been in my lifetime. Yeah. And I am 80 years old, and I have never seen such outrageous disregard as I see today, even though you hear from some pro-life people that, oh, we're making progress. No, we're not.
Yeah.
Because we've forgotten that every single person is a precious human being. If that were not so, we wouldn't have pro-life groups advocating for abortion, quote unquote, bans after 15 weeks of age.
Oh, yes. Judy! Oh, I love it! I love it! It drives. This is me too. I want to sort of jump up and down in front of them and say, "No, don't." Oh my God. You know, it's interesting. And I'm going to tell a little story about you and I. I first got to know you when we were, I remember picking up the phone and calling you because we were fighting up against, exactly this, no exceptions. We didn't, we absolutely, we wanted to have a firm statement, no exceptions, no compromise. And we were also fighting, Senator Portman here. And we were reformatting our mission statement. And I called you about the whole no exceptions thing. And you just said exactly what you've said now. It means no, absolutely not. There can never be any time from the moment that that little child, that little human life comes into being, you cannot mess with it. That is up to God. That's God's creation.
Yes.
And, you drummed that into me, and it was just like, okay, you just have to state that and it'll be fine. Oh my gosh.
Well, that's how I made so many enemies, you know, all the time. And my husband used to look at me and say, you know, we're trying to fight a battle here, and you're like Hitler. But I mean, if you allow for one exception, you have betrayed, not only have you betrayed the human person, but you've betrayed God.
That's exactly right. You know, the other one I remember sitting in the radio station. I just started the radio program at that point, Judy. And I was sitting in the little room waiting to go into the studio. And you and I'd spoken to you on my way to the studio. And you said to me, you've got to call Dr. Charlie Rice. Call Charlie. Tell him I said you've got to speak with him.
Yep.
And so I did. And he said exactly the same as what you said. I mean, he said, no, she's right. She's right. It's like,
well, I learned from him. I learned, I mostly learned because of my faith. I mean, you start every day asking God to just guide you through the day, but God has never approved the killing of a person.
That's right.
And so he takes people when he's ready to take them, not when you decide.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And we've lost our entire comprehension of that basic truth. And I think, you know, my personal feeling is that until the pro-life movement comes to grips with the with God as the creator,
that's so true.
They will never, I mean, I say they now because at my age, I'm handing over American Life League to my son.
Yeah.
But I'm not willing to betray a single baby. That's not my right.
That's right. And your son is the same. I mean, we had him as a presenter at our convention last year. He was there again this year, he and Katie. And it was just wonderful to see that firm, absolutely no compromise attitude is so strong in both of them. It's like, wow, this is what we need. Yeah, this is what we need.
Yeah. There you go. That's the seeds I planted in my garden.
Yeah,
I mean, all three of my kids are the same. You don't talk to them about when it's okay to kill a baby. You just don't.
No, exactly right. Judy, I want to talk a little bit about all the things that you've done in your life. And I mean, you've still got lots to go ahead of you. But looking back at the past, I mean, in the beautiful press release that was put out about you, you know, and all the things that you've done, it mentions in here that you and Paul, and I remember in another story I'm going to tell about Judy Brown, is that when you came and spoke with us, actually had Charlie Rice scheduled to speak. And Charlie got extremely sick. It was the beginning of his hospice time, and I didn't even know it at the time, but he couldn't come. And he said to me, call Judy Brown. I'm sure she'll come in my place. So you did. You came, and you and Paul came, and I remember driving back from a private reception that we'd had prior to the starting of the convention, and the two of you talking with us, and it was such a special time, because in that little space of the inside the car, I got to see what an amazing man your husband was. Just an amazing man. A sense of humor, sense of, you know, ability to look at things bigger. And, you know, I remember you both of you asking us about, you know, so how are you paying for this? And we said, we have no clue, but, you know, we're all volunteers and blah, blah, blah. And that both of you came back to us afterwards after you'd finished your presentation and said, look, anything that you were going to give to me as an honorarium, you guys take it and keep building, keep doing, the two of you, keep doing what you're doing. And it was such an affirmation at that time for us, because it was only like our third convention that we'd had. So it was such an affirmation to see the great Judy Brown saying we're doing the right thing. So thank you for that and the encouragement you gave to us.
My husband too. As you said, we never took honorariums anywhere because it wasn't ours to take. It belonged to the people who had us come.
Yeah.
And we never thought twice about that. That's one of the things I just cherished about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful man. Wonderful, wonderful man. Very wonderful man. Judy, talk to me a little bit about the fact that you and Paul were actually friends with Ronald Reagan. Wow.
We were, yes.
Wow.
Well, that's because at the first meeting that we had with him in the White House, we made a presentation to him of a book of arguments in defense of every single person as a human being. And it stuck with him. And so he had us at several meetings with him. And I honestly believe, understanding the pressure that Ronald Reagan was under at that time, that Ed Meese was trying desperately to force Ronald Reagan to compromise on abortion. And he had us over there with Nellie Gray. Every time he felt like he couldn't, you know, he couldn't articulate, he'd say, I need to talk to you. And so Paul and I and Nellie would talk to him.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we did, because he was humble enough to know that if he couldn't articulate the argument, he wasn't going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he admitted that.
Wow.
And Molly, I don't remember a politician since him that has been honest enough to say, I need your help and I'm willing to listen to you because I want to say the right thing.
Yeah.
Politicians don't do that anymore.
No.
They just lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And unfortunately, one of the things you spoke about, the fact that the leadership in the pro-life movement, while we have some amazing leaders in the pro-life movement, we've also got those leaders that are leading and in very prominent positions who are ready to compromise. Like, well, you can't, you know, at least we will save this many babies.
Yeah.
And, you know, we keep coming back to that. You are going to kill 90% of the babies to save, you know, for 10%. Well, it's a 10%. No, there's no need to lose any of them if we stand strong. That's what I think is unfortunate, in that, you know, trying to compromise with a politician just doesn't work. You teach them to speak the truth, and that's what you and Paul did.
Because today we don't have that anymore. Thank God for people like Molly Smith, you, and all those wonderful people who toe the line, because, you know, someday every single one of us has to stand before God and account for our words and our actions. And I don't understand why there are so many people who call themselves Christians who are willing to betray these babies without thinking about the consequences to their own souls.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, even if you disregard the babies, what about you?
Yeah, exactly. You know, right. What about your soul? What about your eternity? Where, you know,
exactly.
And the knock-on effect of that, Judy, is always so powerful to consider before you make those kinds of statements. You know, we've just had our dreadful vote on putting abortion into our constitution. And I'm watching some of the groups that worked with us, and they shall remain nameless, but they do know who they are, but who are beginning to say now, and even in Ohio, in our solid pro-life senators and state representatives beginning to say, well, you know, we're going to still fight it, but we're going to fight it from a 15-week perspective.
I know.
This is unbelievable. It's that attitude that got us to the point where people want, they are not prepared to do away with abortion because we have never taught them what it's about. We've skipped right over that and we've gone straight to success in passing legal laws, which doesn't help us at all at the end of the day. So,
no. You know, it's a struggle for the hearts and minds of the people, and it's not our right.
Absolutely.
We keep saying this, but I mean, our whole philosophy at American Life League is based on that very truth, that these children are God's children. And what right does anybody have to suggest that we can leave any baby behind?
Exactly.
Not so many that we cannot even, I'm sorry, I can't articulate this better, but as far as I'm concerned, I think that the betrayers of the babies that are in the leadership of the pro-life movement right now will pay a very heavy price. Absolutely. God help them.
I agree with you, because they're being put into a position of great awe, and, you know, should understand that. So,
I know.
Yeah, but you know, we pray. Judy, we pray. It's all in God's hands, and we keep fighting, doing, and speaking our truth. And things. That's exactly right. Now, Judy, I also want to talk to you a little bit about the most amazing, and I think this is even for me even bigger than Ronald Reagan. But you got to meet popes in your time.
Yes.
Tell us about that. I love it. And two wonderful popes. Yeah.
Well, I met Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict on numerous occasions because of my involvement with the wonderful Pontifical Academy for Life before it too went down the drain. And those conversations with popes that are that strong in defense of life is an honor and a privilege, not to mention a blessing.
Yeah.
Because I'll never forget the first time Paul and I met Pope John Paul II, and it was, you knew you were standing in the presence of a saint. You just knew it. The reflection that man had around him, and just his smile. Yeah. I mean, let's just start with that. I mean, you were in the presence of a saint.
Yeah.
And he was such a incredible human being. And of course, he suffered. He suffered terribly. Yeah. I mean, physical pain from Absolutely. The conditions that he had. But he just always had this, I hate to use the word aura, because today it means something awful, but it was an aura of saintliness about him, and his words were always precious. And I felt the same way about Pope Benedict, although I was very sorry that he felt it necessary to resign the way he did. But Pope John Paul II was an incredible human being, and we were so blessed to be in his presence so many times. It was It was wonderful.
And you served on that amazing pontifical.
Yes.
Just tell us a little bit about those, because a lot of that stuff, a lot of the what was advised and talked about and, you know, put there actually has crept, whether or not you can see it or not, I can see that it has crept into Catholic teaching, and it's part of the articulation of why we are so strong about this. So tell us, are you working with?
We all worked directly with Pope John Paul II, and of course there were over 100 of us. Mercedes Wilson was in that group. Dr. Thomas Ward was in that group. There were people from all over the world in that group. I mean, every continent was represented. But the one thing that we all shared was this commitment to the dignity of the human person. And so all of the documents that came out of those academies were splendid. Yeah. Dr. Joseph Seifert, I can't remember all the people. All I remember is the camaraderie and the unity of purpose. We knew why we were there. Today, that is not so, because Pope Francis has destroyed that academy.
I know.
But when Pope John Paul II was inviting us, I mean, he personally invited us to be members, and it was just what an honor to be a part of an academy of thinking human beings, pro-life leaders, many of whom have now died, who felt compelled to defend the truths of the Church. And, of course, a lot of the statements that came out of that academy went into papal documents at that time, and that was an honor.
That's exactly, and they are there for forever. I mean, those papal documents will always be there, and it's so good to know that. So while the actual academy itself might have, you know, it might be a time for something different, and maybe there is, God is rising up something, he's raising up something different. Who knows? But we just know that you do what you need to do for that day, and thank God.
So all you can do is one thing left.
Exactly. Very quickly, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. You, in the press release that was put out, I'm sure, but you know, just a lot of information in there from your children and from Katie and from Hugh and, you know, all of those. And I'm so honored to know them as well as having known you. But,
you
say that, there's no account of Judy Brown's life would be complete without giving credit to the Catholic faith that she holds so dear. Why is that?
That's true.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, just for the sake of all the younger listeners that you have, my faith didn't start out like a rock. It started out like a piece of sand. And it grew because of my openness to be strengthened by God and to realize my own weakness. And that also happened to my husband at a different time and for a different reason. But I think Paul and I are examples of the fact that we truly are clay. Every single human being is clay,
yeah.
And we are molded in the hands of God if we allow Him, because we're humble enough to form us in the way that He wants us to be. And I can honestly say, without even hesitating one second, that I saw that happen to my husband in a miraculous way.
Wow.
And it's just a witness to the greatness of God.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. And it's so interesting that you would say about the being humble to be, if you're not humble, you can't accept it in.
No,
you can't. On Holy Thursday evening, we were at the service, and we had two different places in the church that where they were washing feet. And one of them, the priest happened to be right beside me. And I turned to my friend who was kneeling with me, and I said, oh my goodness, watch this. The humility that came through, he's an African priest, but the humbleness and the humbleness of the people who came up to have their feet washed.
Yes.
I said to her, that's what we need in the world today. We need that humility. So it's interesting that you would point to that being able to be humble is when we get it, I think.
Well, I think that's the only reason we're here is to learn absolute humility. And whatever we have to go through to get to that place, it's worth it.
Let's do it.
I mean, because the older you get, the more frail you become, and the more you realize that you don't belong to yourself.
No, exactly right. Oh, that's so true. That is so true. As I mentioned, Judy, I'm not that far behind you. So it's like every day I'm going, okay, this is a little bit less able to do things and bend down and touch my toes as I used to.
Correct. But we're still, you know, God has given us the grace to carry on, and so we carry on every day.
Oh, beautiful. The indomitable Judy Brown, it's such an honor to know you and to keep on knowing you. And we'll get you back on the program as often as we can. Judy, thank you for all of you. God bless you lots and lots. And thank you for your passing on your gift to your children. I love it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.